Repentance spelled with 7 R's. Elder William J. Critchlow, J.R. William J. Critchlow, J.R., Conference Report, April 1962, pages 36-39. People in all of the nations of the earth need to repent. The need is urgent. This declaration of need constitutes an indictment of guilt. Transgressions are implied. For what need we repent, I may be asked? My answer: for the same sins that brought low the impenitent inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, for the identical sins that brought extinction to the impenitent Nephites on this continent, for the same sins that brought destruction to the impenitent souls in Noah's day, for the same sins that will bring the judgments of God upon the impenitent people in our day unless we repent. Come, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Our world has become a modern Babylon, cities like Sodom and Gomorrah dot the earth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In a very few moments, one could inventory in the mind his or her more serious transgressions, those already repented of, and those still to be repented of. It will take a little longer, and the list will grow a little longer, if we add to it our sins of omission. Sometimes our sins of omission are greater than our sins of commission. Now, how did we rid ourselves of sin, or how shall we rid ourselves of the sins so listed? Is there a pattern or formula for repenting? Definitely there is, in my humble opinion, and those who will pause to list their sins will, by so doing, be taking the first step in the repenting process. In such a mental inventory, we automatically recognize certain of our acts as transgressions, otherwise we would not list them. No problem can be solved. No sin can be resolved until it is first recognized. Recognition of sin, therefore, is the first step in the repenting processes. The Apostle Paul assented to the stoning of Stephen. He held the cloaks of those who threw the stones. Not until he was chastened by the Lord did he recognize the full extent of his sin. Great was his remorse thereafter. A convert to the church was unaware that he was transgressing a law of God as he imbibed tea, coffee, and tobacco until he was taught God's law of health, the word of wisdom. His conversion forced upon him recognition of the law. Violations thereafter constituted transgressions. For the purpose of my theme, I propose to spell repentance with 7 big capital R's. The first R obviously stands for recognition. Paul's godly sorrow for his sin suggests the second R, remorse. Our Lord, teaching his followers to pray, said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He said that nearly 2,000 years ago. Brought up to date, the 1962 version seems to be, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from being caught." Sorrow for being caught in sin is not remorse. The third R stands for relating. All sins should be confessed unto the Lord. Where, said Elder Marion G. Romney, one's transgressions are of such a nature as would, unrepented of, put in jeopardy his right to membership or fellowship in the Church of Jesus Christ, full and effective confession would, in my judgment, require confession by the repentant sinner to his bishop or other proper presiding church officer. Not that the church officer could forgive the sin, but rather that the church, acting through its duly appointed officers, might with full knowledge of the facts take such action with respect to church discipline as the circumstances merit. The fourth R stands for restitution. For misconduct which offends another, confession should also be made to the offended one, and is forgiveness sought. Restitution means to restore, to repair the damage. Three boys about to receive scouting awards were apprehended breaking streetlights, and were they sorry for being caught? Later, but before they accepted their awards, they recognized their acts as unbecoming Eagle Scouts, and with a true feeling of remorse went to the power company to relate their transgression and offered to make restitution by paying for the lights. Incidentally, the only restitution exacted was that they be guardians of those lights. From then on, the lights burned on and on and on. Some things cannot be restored. Street lights can be replaced. Embezzled funds and stolen property may be returned. But how does one make restitution for the sin of blasphemy, taking the name of God in vain? Blasphemy, used so freely to emphasize our conversation, is the most thoughtless of all conversational crimes. How does one make restitution for lies, for hearing false witness, the wagging tongue like, the moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on, nor all thy piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. Omar Khayyam, Paul's sincere apology to the Lord for assenting to the stoning of Stephen never brought back Stephen's life, nor will all the prayers of repentant sinners ever restore virtue to a maid or a boy. The fifth R stands for resolution. It implies a firm resolve to forsake our sins. There are two kinds of resolutions. One is called the New Year type. These come cheaper by the dozen and are branded with insincerity and guaranteed to last only till the next temptation. few ever last longer than the winter snows, the other is the sincere type resolved and guaranteed to last forever. By this ye may know if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them. Resolves which are repeatedly broken merit no forgiveness. Comma, go your ways and sin no more, but unto that soul who sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God. We do not trifle with the Lord. A resolution is an expression of faith, and like faith needs to be supported by works. The next step therefore involves works. It is represented by a big R, which stands for reformation. A resolution is an intention to do well. Reformation is actually doing well. Comma, let every man learn his duty, said the Lord. He that learns not his duty and shows himself not approved shall not be counted worthy to stand. Transgressors seek the forgiveness of Heavenly Father. Their fellow men will forgive 70 times 7, because they have been so commanded. I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men. To earn his forgiveness one should go the extra mile, forsaking not only his sins but adding the while devotion and service to prove his love for him. Such devotion and service constitutes reformation. Now if in the process of repenting we follow these 6 steps, represented by the 6 R's, may I list them: recognition, remorse, relating, restitution, resolution, and reformation, we should have placed ourselves in a position to enjoy the 7th step, represented by another great big R, which stands for realization. Realization of the happiness that comes from righteous living. Happiness is righteousness, said President McKay. Comma, if there be no righteousness, there be no happiness. A realization too, that we are forgiven by him whose forgiveness really counts, and a peaceful feeling will burn within our bosoms, and our minds will be at peace. Elder Sterling Sill told us this morning that the number 7 was a symbol of completeness. These 7 R's accordingly symbolize a complete process of repentance. If spelling repentance with so many R's complicates for you the repenting process, be of good cheer. Many good souls who couldn't spell it with 7 R's or any other way have sincerely repented and have been forgiven. One's conscience seemingly has a way of conforming unwittingly, so let your conscience be your guide. The sum bonum of the proposition is repent, everybody repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses brought the children of Israel to the borders of the Promised Land. There they were halted so they could sanctify themselves before they entered. Today, after 6,000 years of mortal living, dying, striving, and wandering upon the face of the earth, the children of God stand on the threshold of another Promised Land, a promised millennium of peace. And just as God sifted out the impenitent in Moses' day, so will he sift out the impenitent in our day before the dawn of the millennium morn. We have so little time left to sanctify ourselves, it's later than we think. How else can we sanctify ourselves save by repentance? I plead with all, give it top priority. Our Lord gave it priority when he counseled, "Hearken ye people of my church, hearken ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the islands of the sea, prepare ye, for that which is to come. For the Lord is nigh, for I the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents, and doeth the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven, and he that repents not, from him shall be taken even the light which he has received. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen."